big thank you again to all those who've read, helped us open the meeting. I want to welcome those that have joined us since we first started, and a particular welcome to any visitors, and a huge welcome to any newcomers to our meeting tonight. And we hope you hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So like I said, we do have a speaker tonight. He's going to share their experience, strength and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes. And I'm going to hand you over to Orlando B, who's going to introduce our speaker tonight. Over to you.
Hello, I'm a grateful recovering addict. My name is Michael Orlando.
And hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
And it's an honor and privilege for me to introduce the speaker. And the reason why it is an honor and privilege, and I'm a bit nervous, is because there's always a moment in your recovery where you actually see the program come on in someone's eyes. And know that there's that spark of hope that is there. And this woman is now also one of those people that absolutely amazes me every time I hear her, but I absolutely adore her. And it's my privilege and honor to welcome Ava E. from Oakland, California, to share her experience, strength, and hope. And if you don't remember me, Ava, we got clean together in Sacramento, California. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Ava. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
My name is Ava, and I'm an addict, and this is a little odd. Michael,
Hi, Ava.
Welcome.
Ava.
Hi. And Michael, of course, I remember you. And this is different. You know, it's like I just got used to Zoom, and now I was used to looking at a bunch of people, and now I get to look at a blank screen. So this is a little odd. I'm feeling really emotional today. I have 10,000 days clean today. And and that was a goal that I never thought I would ever achieve. And so just a little bit about who I am. I got clean in Sacramento 27 years ago. And it's really funny to me how God works, because God orchestrated all of this long before today, you know? And so long before today, God knew that I was going to be sharing in Scotland. What an amazing gift that is. And so I want to thank you guys for having me, because on this day, it's a really amazing thing. It's a, I never thought I would be here. And so my clean date is March 2nd, 1993. And I have one clean date. I picked up one key tag, and I'm really proud of that. And just the fact that relapse is not a part of my story, it just is my story, you know, and I'm grateful that it was never a part of my story, because I heard a whole bunch of people talking about relapse, and it scared the shit out of me. And so I never wanted that to be my story. And so I did what they told me to do. I got clean because I was tired of using. I mean, I didn't go to jail. I didn't do a whole lot of things that a lot of other people did. I always had a job. I always had stuff. So, you know, when I first got here, I never wanted to tell my story because I didn't think I had anything to share. And so when I got clean, you know, you guys can't see me, but I'm Black and Filipino, and I look Puerto Rican. And so I grew up confused, and I always believed and felt less than. And so that was my story all my life, and I brought it with me into adulthood. So when I got clean, it was like the very first thing was that I was not good enough. And so when I went to the meeting in Sacramento for the first time, I didn't see anybody that looked like me, and so I didn't want to go back. And so when I met Michael, and I see your name is Orlando on here, but you're Michael to me, because that's how I met you. One of the things that I loved about him, and I've never told him this, one of the things that I loved about him was his freedom to just be who he was. He didn't care what people thought or what they said. He just was himself, and I so admired that about him. And so I didn't realize until recently, it's like the older you get in recovery, you realize when you meet people in early recovery, you think that they're gods because they have all this clean time. And I didn't realize that really that there's only a few years between us. But then it was amazing to me that people stayed clean, that they had, you know, 5 years. That was like amazing. And I remember going to those meetings and thinking, I don't know that I could do this, but I did hear them say that we have never seen a person who lives in Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. And so when I heard that, I held on to that with all I had. I have to say that I, from day one, I've done one fellowship. I'm not an and to anything. I'm an addict, and I believe that Narcotics Anonymous is all inclusive, and it's the only fellowship that I need to do. And so I totally respect the House of Narcotics Anonymous and all it brings. All my sponsors have been Narcotics Anonymous sponsors, and I work Narcotics Anonymous steps. And so that's just my story. And so I'll tell you that I got clean. I did everything they told me to do because I told you I was tired. And so when I got here, it's like I got a sponsor right away. I did everything that they told me to do, and I got it. It's like I saw people staying clean, and I wanted what they had. They told me to hang out with the old timers. I did that because I wanted to stay clean. And so what I'll tell you is that I stayed in Sacramento for about 5 years, and then I moved I'll say back to the Bay Area, but for you guys won't know what that means. But what it means is that I moved from Sacramento back to where I grew up, which was near San Francisco. And I wanted to be close to family, although I'm not sure why I wanted to be close to family, because our family was so dysfunctional and I didn't like them anyway. So I don't even know why I wanted to move close to them, but I wanted to be back, I guess, in the area that I considered home. And so I came back home, and they told me that I needed to, like, get connected to the fellowship, and so I did it. I did everything that they told me to do, and what I'll tell you is that Narcotics Anonymous gave me a foundation to live. What I'll tell you about how Narcotics Anonymous works in my life, I live a life governed by spiritual principles that I got as a result of working the steps of Narcotics Anonymous and the traditions, and what I'll tell you today is that my life is amazing. And had I known in the beginning what the quality of my life would be today, I would have had bigger dreams. I would have made bigger plans, you know, and because everything that I've ever wanted to do, I've done, you know. And so it's like what I'll tell you is that Narcotics Anonymous, if you're new in this room, and there's no way for me to tell who's new because the newcomers didn't raise their hand, but if you're new in this room, I want to tell you that you don't ever have to use again. It's like Narcotics Anonymous gave me a new way of living. It taught me how to live. It's like I didn't have a life. You know, I hear people talk about they got their life back. I didn't have a life, you know? And so Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life, a quality life. And I'm so grateful for that because I didn't know, you know? And so my father was an alcoholic. He married my mom when he was in the military. He went to the Philippines and he married my mom. And my dad, he did what alcoholics do. He didn't talk, he didn't trust, he didn't feel. And that was the atmosphere in our household. You know, I grew up believing that I didn't have anything to offer. Children should be seen and not heard. And so, you know, it's like it didn't matter. I was an overachiever child. I graduated from high school at 16 years old, and I had a four-year academic scholarship to school, and what I learned how to do in college was get loaded. And so needless to say, I dropped out. And so just, you know, all that stuff that happens when in dysfunctional households. And so when I got clean, it was like I was 16 years old, because that's how old I was when I started using, and Narcotics Anonymous gave me a foundation to learn how to live. And so had sponsors, I did what they told me to do, I worked steps and all this stuff. And so I moved back home. And I'll tell you that one of the most difficult things that I ever did was move from one area where I got clean to another area where I knew nobody. And so I got lost. It was like I totally get what they say when they tell you when you move to another area to get connected, because it was really difficult to get connected because the people in my new area didn't do Narcotics Anonymous right, and they didn't know how to hold meetings and any of that stuff, and it was just very different. But I didn't know that it was just different. I didn't know to just be open-minded and willing to do it. You know, it was a process of learning how, because the spiritual principles for me, they're always ever evolving. And I know that God has me exactly where I need to be when I need to be there. And I always talk about losing my son. I have two children, a son and a daughter. And I used when they were little. And so I when I was in Sacramento, I had let my children go live with their dad because I knew that I was in the height of my addiction and I didn't have what it took to raise them. And so I didn't want to drag them around. And so I let their father take them. But what my children believed is that I abandoned them. So when I had 7 years clean, my kids, when I got clean, were 10 and 12. And I was able to make amends to them, but just because I make amends to my children doesn't mean that they have the fortitude to understand what that means. And so I had a relationship with my son. My daughter was always very angry and very nasty and very caustic. And you guys told me to just keep coming, that I would eventually get my family back. And so I just kept coming and I kept doing the footwork because that's what you guys told me to do. And so when I had 7 years clean, my son was 20 years old and he was murdered. And I share this story because I know that I'm not the only one. And I share this story because I know that people struggle with this, and I share this story because they told me in Narcotics Anonymous that all I have to do is come in here and talk about what's happening with me. If I'm going through some stuff, to come to meetings and talk about it. And what I found out is that I wasn't the only one, that there were a lot of people in here that had lost their children. And so they told me that if I didn't know how to do something, to come to NA and talk about it, because somebody would eventually show up and show me how to walk through and not use. And so I came to meetings and I talked about it. And what I saw was that there were people that were in the rooms that had lost their children and they didn't get loaded, you know? And so I kept coming. And so over the course of, you know, long story short, the kid who killed my son killed three people in 30 days. And this kid was 19 years old and he lived that life. He grew up in the system. His mother was a crackhead, you know. All her children were raised in foster care. I was a social worker. That was my occupation for a long time, for 32 years. And so did I understand the nature of the disease and where it leads people? Absolutely. And why? Because Narcotics Anonymous taught me empathy and compassion. And I knew exactly where she was at, you know? And so I went to this murder trial and I knew in that time, I knew that by going to this murder trial, that Narcotics Anonymous had changed my life. And how I knew that was because one day they asked me what I thought about the death penalty. And I knew that Narcotics Anonymous had changed my life when I heard my voice say, I don't know that I want this boy to die, but I want his family to live without him like I live without my son. And I have to tell you that the reason why I knew that Narcotics Anonymous changed my life is because I'm that addict that if you do something to me, I'm going to lay in wait because I'm too little to fight. I don't know how to fight, and I probably will get my ass kicked. But anyway, I'm that addict that if you do something to me, I'm going to wait for you around the corner, and I'm going to have a bat or a skillet or something, and I'm going to hurt you with it because I need to hit you when you least expect it. And so to hear myself say that, I knew that there was a fundamental change in my heart, my thoughts, and my perception. And so I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand that what was happening to me was a process that happens in here in Narcotics Anonymous when you work the steps and the traditions, and that process had everything to do with forgiveness. And so I didn't understand at the time, but I understood later that what was happening to me in that process was that I needed to learn to forgive this kid for killing my son because it was what I needed to do in order for me to go on in my recovery. Not for him, but for me. I needed to let go of the resentment and the anger and the fear so that I could live. So that I could go on. I had a little girl that I needed to show up for, you know? And so I knew that that was something that was happening to me. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know why it was happening, but I knew that it was happening. And so forgiveness was very big. I knew I had to do it. And they told me, if you don't know what to do, go to meetings and talk about it. So I went to meetings and I talked about it. And the people in the fellowship showed me how to walk through and not get loaded. I didn't get loaded, you know, and I kept going. I kept going to meetings. I kept showing up. I kept doing the footwork, you know, and so I thought that once I forgave this kid, that I was done, you know. And if you're in this room, don't leave before the miracle happens, because you never know when the miracle's going to happen, and you don't know when or how many miracles are going to happen. And what I've learned is that over the process of the 27 years that I've been in Narcotics Anonymous, the miracle of forgiveness has continued to give. And what I mean by that is that I thought I was done. I thought that all I had to do was forgive this kid and it was going to be okay. And so I kept coming and I kept doing what they told me to do and I kept showing up. And I remember when I first got clean, there was an old timer. And Michael, you'll remember this. There were a couple people that talked about doing the basics in this program. And there was a guy named Old Man Ray who talked about, you know, look around the room because there's only going to be a few of you that are going to make it. And I wanted to be one of those who made it. And so I kept showing up and I kept showing up, and I got a resentment with this old man because he kept saying, only 2% of you are going to make it. And I kept showing up because I wanted him to know that I was going to be one of that 2%. The blessing was, when I had 10 years clean, that man gave me my chip. He gave me my medallion, and what a gift that was, right? There was another guy who said, I do the same things today that I do with 30 years clean, right? He said he went to meetings. He said he had a sponsor. He said he worked the steps. He said he did service and he didn't use in between. And what I've added to that since I've been here is that I found a God of my understanding. And so I do those things every day. With 10,000 days clean, I still do those same things. And it has kept me clean, right? And so I lose my son. I go through this whole thing, this transformation of forgiveness. I'm doing my recovery. I keep on going, and I never had a jail story. I told you guys I didn't go to jail. I didn't understand why it was that I was being led to do H&I, and so I kept being led to different jails and different institutions and being asked to do service there, and so it became a passion of mine, and I'm not understanding why it is that I'm being led to do H&I and why I'm going to the jails. It's like, why am I going here? I don't know why I'm going here. I just kept doing it. And so I would go to the women's jail and I would talk to the women and I would talk to different institutions. And then I realized that where I wanted to go was to the prisons. And so what I'll tell you, where I ended up, is doing H&I in one of the most famous, notorious death row prisons. And it's called San Quentin. And so if you think that there's nothing humbling about walking into a men's prison, being the only woman, and walking into a meeting where there's 250 inmates and me, it was quite humbling. You know, the blessing was that I knew that I was getting out, that I could go home, right? It was like, thank you, God, that I never had to live this. However, remember I told you that forgiveness was a gift that kept giving, right? And so I go in this prison. I'm telling my story. You know, I had no idea why I was telling my story to 250 inmates, but what I know today, what I'll tell you, is that it came full circle, and I understood. And I'm talking about years later. I'm talking about 10, 15 years after I lost my son, this came about, and I understood. One day I was sitting in one of the meetings, because once a year they have a social at San Quentin, and they have about 250 inmates come, and then they have 100 people from NA come. And so it's a big, huge meeting, and then they have one NA speaker and one speaker from the prison. And so this particular year, the speaker from the prison was a guy who had his, he had a release date. He was going home. And so he was talking about working a program, and how he would do Narcotics Anonymous meetings in this prison, and how, you know, it had changed his life, and how he wanted to be able to get out and go to NA meetings because he believed that he could do this on the outside, and how it was going to change his life. And then he said, because what I was using, and the reason why I'm here, is because I took someone's life. I want to be able to be a living amends to this family whose son I took. And in that moment, I understood why God had me in San Quentin. Because Narcotics Anonymous is a program of second chances, and it has the ability to change your life. I don't care where you come from. I don't care, because the preamble says we don't care how much or how little you have. You know, it's like, we don't care. This will change your life. And so God had me in a prison talking to these inmates, because the kid who killed my son was in a facility just like that. And so how I check myself in this forgiveness piece is, can I go and talk to inmates and love on them and talk to them about Narcotics Anonymous and know that some of them are in there for drug-related charges that may or may not have allowed them to take someone's life? And could I do that with love and compassion and empathy and not judge them? And so the answer is yes, I can, because of Narcotics Anonymous. And when that came full circle for me, what I knew is that my life is governed by these spiritual principles, and my life is being governed by a God way bigger than me. And the transformation of my life is so amazing. You know, and so I told you, don't leave before the miracle happens, right? And so what I know is that the miracles keep coming. You know, and so I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, how huge this is. I thought I was done. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, how huge this is, that God has given me this gift. And so I keep showing up, and I keep showing up. And so I told you, I have a daughter, and my daughter was always that angry little girl, because she felt like I abandoned her, and I was always resentful, because I kept hearing you guys talk about how you got your families back, and I was always mad because that wasn't happening for me. With 20 years clean, I still had a screwed up relationship with my daughter, and it just really hurt me to my core. I still had a screwed up relationship with my mother, and I didn't like her. What I'll tell you is that through the process of working some steps and coming to terms with where I am and how I sit, Narcotics Anonymous gave me the courage to say that I love my mom, but I don't like her. You know, I don't like who she is. I don't like how she talks to people. I don't like how she treats people. She's very narcissistic. Because Narcotics Anonymous, through the process of working the steps, gave me the ability to identify how I feel and where I walk and to take what belongs to me and leave the rest. And so what I know today is that the dysfunction of how I grew up is still alive and well in my mom's household today. And so I don't have to like her. I love her, but I don't like her. And so with this daughter of mine, my daughter lost her way. And so she, like many of our children, was using. And so she liked the liquid drug. And so her life just kind of fell apart. It spiraled into this mess. And so what I'll tell you about that is that I learned about codependency, and I learned how to stay in my lane by dealing with my daughter. And I learned that by showing up and working my program, that was the best way that I could help her. It's like I had to pray for the addict who was going to carry the message to my daughter, because the message was not going to come from me. And I will tell you that was like the best lesson ever. It taught me to take the name and the face off the addict and just deal with her the way I would any other addict in my life. And so what a gift. I get it, right? And so my mom and my ex-husband were my daughter's biggest enablers. And so for 2 years, I watched my daughter kill herself, just literally just kill herself. And I kept trying to tell them, the only way that you're going to help her is to tell her that she can't stay at your house, that she needs to go to treatment. It took them 2 years to find their voice. And finally, they told her, you need to go to treatment. And so she went to treatment. And so in September, my daughter will celebrate 3 years sober. However, I'm saying that she will celebrate 3 years sober because it's a victory for me, but my daughter doesn't work a program. And guess what? It's none of my business. You know, and what I get to see today is that my daughter is a mom. And I'm hoping and praying that being a mom is enough, because it was never enough for me. You know, I'm hoping that she will find her way, that this is, I realize that 12-step program is not the way for everybody. It's my way. I don't need to like impose that on her. And just because she's not doing it doesn't mean that she's going to get lost again. My prayer is that she doesn't. I hope that being a mom is enough. But what I'll tell you is that as a result of her getting sober, as a result of me working my program and continuing to stay on this path, what has happened as a result of that is that she's a mom now. And because I can stay in my lane and mind my own business, I get to be a grandmother to her daughter, and this little girl has no idea where I come from. I get to show up for her in a way that I never got to show up for my daughter. And there is a healing taking place as a result. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. And I keep telling you guys that don't leave before the miracle happens, and the gift of forgiveness is still giving, right? And so I'm not understanding that through this gift of forgiveness with my daughter that we get to see, I got to give my daughter a Mother's Day card. And when I gave her that Mother's Day card, I got to tell her, you are far greater a mother than I ever was to you. And I am so sorry. And she says to me, Mom, she says, I love you. She says, and because of my daughter, we are in a far greater place than we've ever been, and I love you. And it was like all of a sudden in that moment, it made every step I worked, it made every tear I shed, it made every bit of the agony and the anguish worth it, because in that moment, God gave me a gift one more time of forgiveness. And I could never, never, never tell you guys how huge that was. And so oh my God, I have to tell you that it's like, and so today I get to see this little girl. She was 8 months old yesterday, and I get to see this little girl and love on her in a way that I was never able to do for my children. And so I'm thinking, oh great, it's over, the forgiveness thing is over. And then I realize in doing my step six, because that's where I am right now in my step working and doing my step six, I'll tell you. God has a sense of humor, right? Because in this incredible gift that he's given me, what I've discovered is that how great it is that I've forgiven the kid who killed my son. How great it is that my daughter was able to forgive me. It doesn't matter that it took practically all of my recovery for it to happen. But what got revealed to me is that this wonderful program called Narcotics Anonymous has given me the gift and the blueprint to live my life, given me the ability to transform my life. That in this forgiveness piece, that what started out with me doing the work in order to forgive this kid who killed my son, and all that work and all this wonderful stuff that's happened to me, that I couldn't find it within myself to forgive my mom. Because that's what it's really all about. So right now in this place today, I'll tell you this story that that brought it full circle one more time, right? Because God keeps revealing to me where it is that I need to go in this journey. And so I'm an Oprah fan. I don't know if you guys are an Oprah fan in the UK, if she's a big deal to you guys, but she's a big deal to me. And one of my dreams was to go see Oprah, right? And so right now Oprah's involved with Weight Watchers. And so I thought it didn't matter what she was involved in. My whole life I've wanted to go see Oprah. And so I paid a lot of money and I went to this venue when I went to see her. And so she's talking about, you know, weight loss and this and that. And so I'm thinking, okay, so I'm here to see her and she's talking about weight loss. And so what was revealed to me is that towards the end, and if you ever get a chance to like Google Oprah's, she talks about it. There's a YouTube video about her coming to terms in the forgiveness piece with her mother. And so I'm sitting there in the audience and I'm thinking that I'm there to see Oprah just because she's talking about this weight loss thing. And so there's something that I'm supposed to get there. I had no idea why I was there. And so I was listening to her, and what she was talking about is that Oprah discovered she had a sister. Her mother never told her about this sister. And so this sister appeared. She was already a grown woman and an adult. But isn't it amazing that the sister that her mom denied all her life was the same daughter that was the one that was going to take care of her in hospice? And so the daughter called Oprah and said, "You better get here, hurry up, because she just hugged me." And so that was the acknowledgement that she was telling everybody that, yeah, this was my daughter. And so Oprah went. And so just through the process of all this stuff, Oprah coming to terms with her mother dying, she realized that she had 60 years that she needed to come to terms with, that she needed to tell her mother thank you, that she needed to forgive her mother, that she needed to do all this stuff, and she needed to do it before her mother passed away. And so she kept going back and forth and back and forth, and God wasn't giving her anything to like share. And then one day he played a song for her mother and she saw something change in her mother's face. And so she knew in that moment that what she needed to tell her mom. And so what she told her mom was that it was okay for her to go if she felt like she needed to let go, that it was okay for her to go. But before she went, she wanted to tell her that she was really grateful that she was her mother. And she wanted to tell her thank you for not giving her up, because her mother was 15 years old when she had Oprah. And so thank you for not giving her up when she could have like given her away. And not had to go through all the challenges taking care of her as a 15-year-old new mom, you know? And so she told her mom, thank you for not giving me up. And then she said, I prayed and I asked God to give me the mother I wanted to have. And I never understood why he never did that. But what I want to tell you is that I realized today that God gave me the mother he wanted me to have. Because of you, I am the woman I am today. And for that, I am grateful. Thank you. And I love you. And in that moment, I knew why I was there. Because I needed to hear her say that because I have the mother I have, regardless of whatever she is capable or incapable of giving me, I know that Narcotics Anonymous has given me a vehicle to change and transform my life. It is up to me to forgive my mom, because my mom is not capable. She doesn't have the program that I have. She doesn't have the ability to transform her life. I do. You know, and no matter what, my brain knows that she did the best she can. My brain knows that she is not capable of being any different. My brain forgets the minute she says some crazy shit and I want to punch her in her throat. My recovery goes out the window. But in my heart of hearts, today I know that it is up to me, because Narcotics Anonymous has given me the ability to change my thoughts, my ideas, and my perception. And so today, what I'll tell you is that this gift keeps on giving. And so it isn't happening overnight. I have to remember, and I have to catch myself when I talk to my mom, because she still gets on my nerves, right? But I have to remember, my mom is 86 years old and she doesn't have the ability to change. She's not going to change. But Narcotics Anonymous has given me the ability to change. And so one more time, in this forgiveness piece, what started out many, many years ago in 2000, when I had 7 years clean, I thought that I was done with the forgiveness piece, that it was just going to be about that. And what has evolved from for me forgiving this kid who killed my son has now evolved into this whole thing and has come full circle and met me in a place where I realized today that it was always about me learning how to forgive my mom. And so on this day, with 10,000 days clean, I totally understand how huge the gift of Narcotics Anonymous is, how huge the gift of the spiritual principles. It's like, I am so grateful that I had a blueprint, and I still have a blueprint to live my life. When I met Steve, the story was still evolving, you know? And so how amazing it is that now I get to share in this forum how it's come full circle, how Narcotics Anonymous, by working the steps and being living a life that is governed by spiritual principles that I get as a result of living the steps and working the steps, that my life has totally transformed, that my life is definitely in a place where it has never been. I am so grateful, because I could have never done this by myself. I could never repay Narcotics Anonymous for all it has given me. I have amazing friends. I have a group of people, even though I don't know any of you in this meeting, besides Michael and Steve, that the gift that I was given, that I was supposed to share today, for whoever it was in this meeting that I needed to share, because ultimately it's always about my experience, my strength, and my hope, that I get to share it in this fellowship, because there is someone whose life needs to change as a result of this program. And maybe, just maybe, my experience, strength, and hope can give them a hope shot. And so I know today that it isn't about my experience. My experience is supposed to help someone else. And that's ultimately why this works. Narcotics Anonymous works because it's about service. It's about the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And so I'm just kind of feeling like that's where I'm supposed to leave it. And so I want to thank you guys for allowing me to share. And I'm just going to leave it there. Thanks, Steve.